Everybody says that health is too complicated these days, but it can be simplified. We're going to show you how with the show, Health Simplified, a simple guide to a healthier life with the one man who seems to know how to explain it in a simple way, Dr. Justin Fessler. Welcome, sir.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. You really, that's your goal, is to not only explain this stuff, but in a way that I understand it, because otherwise I'm always saying, what? And how do I do that? And I get such conflicting information from everybody these
right,
days.
I know. Yeah, there is a lot of misinformation and conflicting information and maybe old information, new information.
Yeah.
So hard to know what to pay attention to.
So today you're going to talk about, you're talking about connections in the body. You're obviously a physical therapist. And so you've studied, you got a doctorate in physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some small time thing for you. And you're going to talk about something I don't often think about. I guess this one sort of makes sense to me. The hip and the back somehow are connected and go together here.
Yeah. So if we start with the back and the structure of the back. So the spine comes up from the pelvic area, which the sacrum is the base of the spine that connects to two pelvic bones, the ilia. And so those are out to the side. And what connects to those is your hips. So the hip joint is in the pelvis. And the spine comes out of the top of the pelvis. Directly, they are connected through that pelvic area.
There used to be a song when I was a kid. I think it came from the 40s. And
yeah.
The hip joint's connected to the something, backbone or whatever.
Yes, yeah. And so it's all true. It's all connected. And so there's the osseous or joint connections of those structures. And then there's also the muscles, the tendons, the fascia, the ligaments that connect everything together.
All the stuff holding it together, What I didn't really, I guess I understand it when you explain it, but I don't think about it often, is if I have, you talked about other joints and stuff, you have a knee problem, you have a foot problem or something. Now it throws off your whole balance. And now you're abnormally pulling on something, pushing on something, and now you're compounding the problem. What you're doing to compensate isn't helping, it's making things worse.
Exactly. So assessing, obviously getting a whole body assessment, in other words, from your foot all the way up to your kind of lower mid-back, is what's needed just to make sure that there aren't other things that are contributing to those gait mechanics or biomechanics that are contributing to the back issue or the hip pain that you're having.
For example, so my wife, we keep using me as the real-life guinea pig. Full disclosure, I've come to see you.
Yeah.
That's partly why we do this show, because
yeah.
you helped us, and I want think you can help others. And my wife had some injury. She was lifting weights or something, and she pulled something. Now she's, you quickly point out, look what your shoulder's doing, or the woman that works with you.
Yes, know, yeah.
It's, you're raising it, because she could never get it to stop hurting. You're abnormally moving this thing, aggravating it all the time.
Yeah.
You have it not allowing it to just heal.
Yeah. Humans are very good at compensating for a weakness or a dysfunction or a limitation in mobility because we want to keep moving.
Right.
And if it's to move without pain, then you got to move differently. And that's that compensation that eventually is going to lead to other issues down the line. So immediately, if someone tells you you're moving funny, you're limping, or doing whatever, get it checked out and get an assessment as soon as possible, because the best outcomes come from early intervention.
That's the key. You were talking about bunions. Oh my God, the bunion episode got more hits than anything we've done so far. Bunions. I didn't think we could talk about it. My wife has a bunion, a big one.
Uh-huh.
And how she compensates for that probably throws off her whole gait and
definitely,
her whole,
yeah.
And the kind of shoes she does or doesn't wear. And so you think this is a problem here.
Yep.
And I'm going to focus on that, but it's a whole body thing. Where would you get a whole body system? You must do them, but I don't. Nobody ever said to me.
No, if we have, for instance, someone come in for a back hip issue like we're talking about today, we're not just going to look at how does your back move. We're also going to look at how your hips move for sure, because that's directly connected. And then we'll have you do like a gait assessment. We'll have you walk down the hall and watch you move. If we see things in the feet or ankles that seems off, see the knee doing something wonky, that's going to be an indicator that there's some other things, possibly orthotics, but possibly just some, maybe some manual therapy to the feet and ankles, or and likely some strengthening interventions too.
And as you've talked about in other episodes, I can't go off the top of my head, but I know as you're walking us through the body and the mechanics and all these things, sometimes it can be an indication of something more serious than it's just an injury or something.
You could have some neurological dysfunction too. So those, some of those red flag things you might see with, if you have reflexes that are off or sensation. As far as for today, I'll start off with some red flags for low back and hip issues.
Okay, let's go.
So as far as that, when you're looking at the low back, if people start to get things like bowel and bladder changes, in other words, they're constipated or, you know, maybe their stool's changing in some way, maybe they're incontinent, those kinds of things. And then also if you have saddle anesthesia, which is like numbness in the perineal area around your anus.
Nice.
Yeah. So if those, you start to notice those things, those aren't like things you just say, I'll take care of it later. That's something you go,
I'll rub it
directly.
And it'll go away.
Yeah. No, do not do that. And so make sure you get in right away for those kinds of issues. And then there's numbness and tingling that can travel down the leg. That's red flag-ish, but maybe an orange flag. And then
that
definitely
could be pinched or something.
Yeah. Whatever. And those things can resolve. But definitely those changes in bowel bladder function, the saddle anesthesia. And then also if you have like weakness developing in a leg that you have no reason for, that's something that definitely get in and probably get an MRI, but see an MD.
You get me talking about things I would never talk about, even to my closest friends here. And now we're doing it to the whole world here. I haven't had those issues, thank God.
Good.
But my late great father used to have multiple things. And his doctor told him a long time ago to track his bowel movements and the stool.
Yep.
So my dad actually in later in life had a chart because he was such an organizer and such an a manager. He had just a paper chart, a little Excel spreadsheet kind of thing that he did by hand. And he tracked every day
the color,
and the size and the type of his poop. So we'd go to his doctor and say, here's what I'm seeing. Good color, good consistency. And I would laugh hysterically. I'd say, oh, my God, Dad, you're tracking your poop.
Well, good for him. A lot of people would be like, I'm not going to do that.
But it helped. Many times the doctor went, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. That says something here. Because I always said your poop is the first or one of the more important things of what's happening in your body.
It's true. Yeah. So it's even connected to back issues.
When
they go
out and track wild animals. We used to have someone come in here and talk about wild animals. Well, how do they look at the feces? They look at
they know what they've been eating or
what the state of their health is. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So back and
hip. So what we're going to look, so the back and the pelvis and the hip, if we start with the low back, we're looking at things like the mobility, but also as far as the back, the core muscles, right? So we have the transverse abdominis, we have the multifidus muscles in the back, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here.
I remember all these.
But it's basically those core back muscles, the transverse abdominis, your pelvic floor.
Do they go up and down or do they go across or both?
Those go around. The transverse abdominis goes around and it acts like a corset. And then your multifidus muscles go from each spinal segment all the way up. And so those are the deep muscles that help with proper biomechanics of your spine. And then you've also got the diaphragm on the top and then the pelvic floor on the bottom. So it's like a box if you think about it that way.
Okay.
And so those muscles are, you know, mainly low back muscles, but they're connected to the pelvis. And so the reason why hip issues are very important in terms of low back issues are because if you start to lose range of motion in your hips, where do you start to make up for that motion? In your low back. Or if your hip is weak, where do you try to make up for that weakness? In your back. And so you're going to overstrain your back because your hip is either stiff, tight, or weak. So if we look at the hip, it connects into the pelvis, right? So things that can cause some low back issues are the hip flexor muscles. These are muscles that connect to the front of the thigh. If you're in a standing position and you try to lift your knee towards the ceiling, picture marching in place, that's your hip flexor muscles activating to move your femur in that direction. They also help with stabilizing your spine though, because they connect from your hip on the front of the femur all the way up into the front of the spine.
And the hip is like I've seen cutaways.
Yeah. So the pelvis.
Like,
So the pelvis is like what you're saying, kind of like a bowl.
Bowl. That's what I'm trying to say.
And the femurs connect into that. And then those are able to move to give you that walking movement. But you've got a lot of muscles that connect to the hips. There's those hip flexor muscles I talked about. Those connect into the front of the spine. And so if those are real tight, then that's actually going to pull on your spine, causing excessive lower doses, we call it, which is basically too much curvature in the spine.
You see that as people get older.
Right.
They start hunching over. I've been doing a little bit, but...
Yeah. And then sometimes people have a tightness of another muscle, the psoas muscle, which is another hip flexor. And that one can cause the opposite kind of torsion of your pelvis in a posterior direction. So that's all to say that tightness in these muscles can cause back issues because of that tension. And so there are stretches you can do, hip flexor stretches and things like that. So we can go into that a little bit later.
To strengthen the muscle or to stretch it out?
To stretch it, yeah. So you're going to stretch that, and it's going to alleviate some of that tension pulling into the low back because those muscles connect to the front of the spine. So
what's that now? Mm-hmm. Going to go on rabbit hole for a second.
Yeah.
I know we're in the back and the pelvis, but I've seen other, my uncle had it, where his hand started to curl up and the muscles mm-hmm. started contracting. It literally cut the muscles.
Some of that is maybe Dupuytren's contracture, where they have a contracture and some of the...
Like a claw hand.
If it's just... Yeah, so claw hand, that I'm not sure on that one. That could be even neurological.
Yeah, it was just his hand started curling, and I've seen other people like this, and they couldn't open it or whatever or something.
Yeah, so it's eventually the tendons don't open up. But similarly with like your low back, if you get those tight muscles pulling... then they're going to put more strain and pull on your spine.
And I guess what I'm saying is, can that be a permanent damage or a permanent condition that you can't?
As far as these hip flexors and those issues, this is a thing that you come to therapy for, and you start doing stretches and strengthening, and over time, it's definitely treatable.
Okay, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
So I got to stop you for another thing, because you're now the part of the body that everybody, I'm in my late 60s, everybody I know is talking about. It's either their neck, or they got back issues. Everybody I know, me from time to time, neck or back issues. Why is this so common? Is it just the body just starts to collapse?
I mean, there's postural issues. So in other words, sitting way too much. Everybody's on a computer these days.
And
sitting
leaning forward and straining, you talked about kind of that.
So poor postures. You want to get some support behind your back when you're sitting so that you're not slouching. And then over time getting weaker. So the weak muscles around the spine and the hips, the gluteal muscles, so the gluteus medius, gluteus maximus, those big muscles around the hips that help stabilize your pelvis, also help with creating proper gait and walking and squatting ability for your hips, your pelvis, and your back so that you don't strain things. So a lot of it can be biomechanical as far as the causes. In other words, you start to make up for, say you have knee pain, and then you start moving from your back too much, and then you start straining your back. Repetitive strain injuries, so you're squatting incorrectly for too long, or you have that, maybe it's part of your job, and those can be issues. But a lot of it's posture.
Many of us, me included, I've gotten better through the years, but we all see something, you just bend your body. You don't bend your knees and go down, down. You bend over to go pick it up.
Yeah. So you lose that ability to, if you look at toddlers that are 2 or 3 years old, they're excellent at squatting. They can squat down, pop back up, not a problem, and everything moves perfectly. They have the perfect squat, and because they have the mobility, so over time...
This kind of sumo squat.
Exactly. So spreading your legs apart helps to open up your pelvis, which helps to increase your range of motion of your hips. If you start to lose hip motion, then you spread your feet apart, and that helps to open up your pelvis, which makes you be able to, you can squat down a little bit easier with less strain on your back.
But I see it in my own life. I certainly saw it with my late mother and father. They, as they couldn't squat down, they ended up leaning over, and now they're an L-shaped or a U-shaped. They're bending completely over, and then they're using their back to lift their whole body straight up again rather than going up or down with their knee, because their knees hurt.
So a lot of that goes into, so if we looked at the kind of the muscle structures, the gluteus medius maximus, the hip flexors can be tight, those glute muscles can be weak, and then those low back, the core muscles we talked about earlier, can get weak also. So an intervention for this kind of issue with maybe a hip tightness issue with low back pain, we're going to be looking at those structures, stretching, and then strengthening the core and the hip stabilizer muscles.
Stretching the muscles out.
And then strengthening these stabilizing muscles of the pelvis and the low back.
This should sometimes be imperative for all of us. And why do we only go when it's so bad I can't stand up or move or whatever? I can't stand it anymore. And then we go say, fix it.
Yeah.
And too often, I'm sorry that I saw it happening. Mm-hmm. First impulse is either to give them a shot to your knees hurt or your back hurts. We talked about cortisone shots and stuff. Or the scary one, let's talk about that for a second, surgery. Everybody starts to, now sometimes, yes, I guess your spine, the discs start to deteriorate and stuff here. And fuse them, they do other things. But I personally have never seen anybody go through back surgery successfully. It always came out not better, or it led to more problems. Ever. And yet there is an impulse to just go fix it, to clean it out, to fuse it, to do something. And that seems like only for the most severe cases.
Right. It is. And it's for those red flag things we talked about earlier. If you're having changes in bowel or bladder function, that saddle anesthesia, weakness in your legs because of your back issue, you get the MRI. And they're possibly at that point, if you've tried conservative care, physical therapy, and possibly some injections and things still aren't getting better, then you have to consider surgery because sometimes it is necessary. Yeah.
But boy, that's a touchy one. And any little nick they make or any mistake.
No, that's why it's even the doctors, a lot of the surgeons now are feel the same way about it. They only want to do it when it's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as those, the interventions for that, then, so as we look at the hips, we're going to want to do.
The first intervention is come see people like you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this is in physical therapy. So if you're coming to a therapist, say you've gotten to the level where, when do you go to a therapist?
Exactly.
If you're having back pain and it's persistent, you've tried doing maybe some stretches, you looked on YouTube, tried a couple of the hip flexor stretches and you're doing some core strengthening, it's not getting better, maybe you tried a massage and you're not getting better, and it's been a couple weeks, then it's time to look into physical therapy. So you don't want to let it go over a month or something and just think like, it's just going to go away.
Yeah. And for most of us under plans, this would be covered care, wouldn't it?
It is. Elective. Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah. Any kind of musculoskeletal issue is covered if you have an insurance plan.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it's important to address these issues because a lot of times a back and a hip issue can lead to possibly knee problems because you start, if you can't bend right, then you're overusing your knees, possibly foot problems. A lot of the interventions we do with people in the clinic are going to entail going through movement mechanics. In other words, squatting mechanics, mm-hmm. teaching people how to hip hinge, which is thrusting your bottom back as you bend forward.
Hip
to use
hinge, okay.
Yep. So you're hinging at the hips instead of rounding your back and trying to stay up straight as you go down. You actually want to force your hips backwards so that you use your posterior chain, which is those glute muscles we talked about. Those are big, strong muscles. So we want to increase the use of those muscles when we do bending activities. So when we go through a full therapy intervention, we're going to go through a biomechanical analysis to see where you're limited in motion to restore mobility there, and then do the strengthening exercises to those key muscles.
And I'm going to challenge you to do a future episode on the other thing. We hear the ads and we laugh about it, but I've started to experience it. I saw my parents and both go through it, and it probably was the most devastating thing to them. You fall.
Yeah.
When you start falling, help, I can't get up. That's a frightening feeling. It can break things like the hip. Why is it so many people, when they get to be a certain age in their 70s or 80s, if they break a hip, it never seems to repair? They're never quite the same again.
They have enough intervention, usually you can get them back. But a lot of the issues as far as this low back hip issue, if you have a weakness in your hips, what you have an issue doing is standing on one leg. Mm-hmm. So that weakness in those hip abductor muscles means that you're going to possibly have something called a Trendelenburg gait, which means your hips, you waddle, or you have to do that.
I see a lot of old people waddle.
Yeah. So if you're weak in your hips, that means you're weak in your hips if you're having that waddling gait. And so that's a huge indicator that someone's at risk of falling.
Yeah.
So and we falling, do a lot of, yeah.
I've said many times on this show and others, my father died in fall. He had stroke. He had heart attacks. He had everything, cancer. He breathes through that. It's the fall that got him.
Yeah. So if we go through a whole physical therapy regimen, we do those things I talked about earlier with the assessment and everything. But as far as rehabbing someone with a back issue, we're not just going to go through the stretches and the core strengthening and stuff. We're actually going to progress them into those standing activities, which is key. So working on that hip hinge and then eventually working towards single leg activities so that you're getting onto one leg, doing some balance work and something called a Romanian deadlift, maybe on one leg.
A Romanian deadlift.
So that's basically standing on one leg. Like you think about someone bending over to pick up a golf ball out of the tee, they kick their leg back on the other side as they bend over to get it. It's basically that motion. You're trying to progress them through that to actually do some strengthening with that activity too. So these simple single leg activities are really helpful for restoring that pelvic stability that's necessary to help support the back as well.
One of the things my doctor did when I went in for my annual physical, he says, stand on one leg. I'm like, what? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
See how long you can stand on one leg? I was pretty good. Many people.
No, a lot of people are not.
And then you're waddling, you're struggling, you're all these things, all of which leads to the biggest problem is falling at some point in your life.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, so all this leads to that too. So in other words, those hip and back issues over time increase your fall risk for sure. So it's, yeah, it's something that you don't want to let go to. If someone you love, you notice that they're maybe having back pain, but they're also starting to move slower, you can see them getting a little more unstable, then just get them to someone to get an assessment at least.
How about the other issue that I see as you age, you gain weight, how you add weight because you're not moving or your metabolism slows down, all this stuff here. And I see people ballooning and getting, for men, it's large bellies and stuff here. All of that starts to throw off your whole balance. And I would think put more strain in your back and your hips.
Yeah, weight definitely can impact, for sure, mobility. For a while, they were saying they weren't sure that it was actually correlated to back pain because people had equal distribution of back pain across whether you're thin or fat or whatever. But as far as the mobility issue and being able to move yourself, the weight does impact that. And so over time, you're going to strain things more. So I think it definitely does impact back pain, but not so much that it's something that is directly correlated. It's more like it impacts so much other physiology in your body. Yeah.
You take a holistic approach to all this. So many don't. They say, where does it hurt? And that's when they start applying the cortisone or the massage or the treatment or the foam. It's just that one thing. We're going to make that. And sometimes that, I bruise myself. I hurt myself. I strain something here. But the lesson I keep learning is the connection between all these things. Today we're talking about back and pelvic.
Yeah, back and hip area. So the pelvis is the connector between the back and hip. So it's all connected there. And yeah, so just make sure that if you have these issues, you get in to see a professional that can assess you, make sure they find all the impairments you have and try to treat each one of those to get you back to...
Would people directly to you, or would they typically go through their gatekeeper, their doctor?
Yeah, so if you're not having any of those red flag issues I talked about, the bowel and bladder changes, over like weakness in your leg that kind of you have a foot drop
numbness,
or something,
tingling,
you know, something severe like that, you can just go to a PT and come in, and it's direct access in California, which means you don't have to have a prescription.
Okay.
You can come for 6 weeks or 12 visits, whatever comes first. And then at that point, you would need a prescription, or we need to have a doctor on file we can send a plan of care to. But to start, no, you don't need a prescription. Yeah.
Amazing. I don't know why we don't take advantage of it more often. More often than not, wait until it's really bad. And then we're trying to fix it, correct it, change it, when we could catch it early and prevent this stuff. That's the other takeaway I get from each of these shows here. All right, how do people reach you if they want to just walk in? And
yeah, so we're at Physical Therapy and Balance Centers in Lake Forest.
And spell it as always?
It's FYZICAL.
Okay.
And phone number is 949-716-1800. And we're at physical.com/lake-forest. If you want to look at the website, and we have some more information about back and hips and all that kind of stuff there.
I don't say this for any compensation or any other reason than I do believe in what you've done. I have taken advantage of it in our family here, and it has helped. So
great. Thank you, Paul.
I think it's a great resource that we don't often think of. We think to go to the doctor, and the doctor's generally there to give you a shot, a pill, or a procedure of some sort. If it's something chronic and long term, they should refer you to somebody else, like a good physical therapist.
Yeah, and patients can request it. You don't have to wait for your doctor to tell you. Yeah.
All right, thanks so much. I don't know, you're walking me through the whole body here. We've gone through bunions and backs and necks. I can't wait to see what comes next here as we continue to try and make health a simple subject, not one that should confuse you or lose you in the conversation here. Thanks for joining us. Tune in again as we continue to make Health Simplified, a simple guide to a healthier life, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.